Spelling Kamai, the natural nurse. And as always, we're wishing you the best. We're right here today on Progressive Radio Network, where we have a show every Tuesday, and that's 10 to 11 a.m. The wonderful part about Progressive Radio Network is that you can listen to this show anytime because we have a great archive. And the archive right now, we have about 140,000 people who have downloaded and listened to shows. So it's a very active archive, thanks to Progressive Radio Network. And of course, not only do they have The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, they actually also have many, many other shows here that you can listen to, and you'll hear some promos about that later this hour. Today, we have as our guest Maggie Martakis, and Maggie is the founder of Maggie's Holistics New York. When she was dealing with a health issue and using conventional treatment to try to heal her son's health issues as well as her own, Maggie sought a holistic approach. She discovered that the many exposures daily to things such as radiation, fluorine, chlorine, bromine, chemicals, as they are found in many of our foods, soft drinks, etc., and she'll talk to us about that, actually have devastating effects on our health and wellness because of the fact that they are stored in the body. Particularly, they interfere with thyroid function and the endocrine glands. So she's going to talk to us today about how she was enabled to successfully tackle her family's health issues using holistic interventions. She is the founder of Maggie's Holistics New York, and she is a holistic healer certified in Reiki and Kundalini yoga with a degree in science and art history, and she's also involved in studying Ayurvedic medicine. So thank you so much for joining us today, Maggie.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Now, one of the things you'll be doing is you'll actually be a speaker at the up-and-coming Naval Expo.
Yes, I'll be giving a detailed PowerPoint presentation on iodine, its essentials, and much more.
And I myself will also be speaking there. So that's on coming up November 8th. For those of you who are listening in the New York area, this will be at the Huntington Hilton. But also checking out the website at navalexpo.com is a great idea because there are actually four naval expos a year. Two are in New York City and two is at the Huntington Hilton in Long Island. So whenever you're listening to this show, even now if you're joining us live or online at another time, check out navalexpo.com. They also have a lot of pre-recorded lectures that you can tune into. So tell us, Maggie, what you will be talking about there.
I'll be briefing everyone on my personal experiences with the toxins that we deal with on a daily basis and how I came across iodine and the benefits and the essential necessity that of iodine in the human body. And I'll be talking about the history, the benefits, symptoms, and also connecting it to spirituality as well.
Well, that sounds really, really interesting. So let's go back in time. When you originally were studying as a younger person, what kind of interest did you have? Because it looks like you were moving more towards anthropology, you know, and art history, that kind of thing.
Yes, originally I didn't come from a holistic nutritional background, education-wise, that's something that I was always interested, and I always ate healthy. I always drank green juices going back, I don't know, 15-plus years ago. And but what really got me into the chemistry of the old body is when I started having health issues and my son started having health issues. This is when I really just indulged in all of it and consumed as much information and did a lot of diligent research. And
well, let's talk about what kind of health issues did your son face.
My son would be considered a vaccine injured candidate.
And why did you come to that decision?
Well, I was reading a lot of books on vaccines prior to me even having children. I was looking to have children, so I was just reading up. Actually, a cousin of mine had given me a book on vaccines, and I read the book. I read several books, and my husband and I had conflicting opinions on the vaccines. Turns out, you know, his cousin turned out to be our pediatrician. They put a lot of pressure on me to vaccinate him. I ended up giving a vaccine to him. And, of course, lo and behold, it had to be me that it happened to all of the stuff that I read. Within 2 hours of the visit, when I came home, his whole entire leg was swollen, covered in hives. It was like a welt, almost, of hives. And I knew right away it was an adverse reaction. And at about 14 months, you know, I was advised to get him evaluated. I got him evaluated, and they had diagnosed him on the spectrum. So, you know, this
So you absolutely, as a mother, noticed a specific change right after vaccinating.
Well, it was a physical change 2 hours after the fact that he got the vaccine. And then, you know, that was around 10 months old. And by the time, you know, he was 14 months old, he was, out of my three kids, he was the first one walking. He walked at 9 months old. His motor skills were amazing. He just wasn't the same child anymore. He wasn't making eye contact. You know, all of the symptoms that I was reading about in the vaccine books, my son was portraying, and I didn't even want to take him to go get evaluated. My mother was pushing me actually to go get him evaluated, and you know, he had received services for 4 years, but aside from the services, you know, I just started, you know, researching, trying to find how can I help him, how can I detoxify him, you know, how can I fix the damage that I did. It's, you know, it was very, very depressing for me. And, you know, I put him on a strict regimen, no gluten. This is going back now 10 years ago. I put him on a strict diet of gluten, only organic foods, no dairy.
Wait a minute,
we
need to clarify that a little bit. You did not put him on a diet of gluten.
No, gluten-free, sorry.
Exactly, so we don't want to
listen. Gluten-free, dairy-free, you know, organic foods only, and, you know, started chelating his body naturally using cilantro and iodine.
What does chelating mean?
Naturally chelating means that you're assisting the body to purge naturally of the heavy metals that are actually found in these vaccines, you know, formaldehyde, SV40, which is a carcinogen, aluminum. You know, we all know what heavy metals do to our neurological system. So I went through the process, and I actually got him off of the spectrum 4 years later.
So you noticed massive changes, positive changes.
There were positive changes, but, you know, it took something like this for that to happen to me, you know, to realize that it goes much deeper than just the vaccines and just the genetically modified foods and just the geoengineering. Yeah, because once I started realizing that we were being bombarded by toxins, you know, from every angle, you start asking why. Why are we being bombarded by toxins, you know, from every angle? Why do I have to search only for organic food, you know? Some people think that this is a fad, but the organic food is simply foods without chemicals such as glyphosate that are sprayed on the foods, you know, which is Roundup. And what glyphosates do to our body is, you know, they cause not only neurological problems, but they cause sterility. They cause you to be sterile. You know, realizing all this, all of this toxins that we're being bombarded with, I just became that much more passionate, as a mother to try to help my children live a healthy life, you know, in this toxic environment in the 21st century that we all have to deal with, unfortunately. And I came across iodine and, aside from my son having these issues that I was happy with the outcome after X amount of years, I myself also had goiter. I had goiter with nodules on them. And I had gone to all these conventional doctors for a number of years. And, you know, they eventually got to the point where they wanted me to do surgery. They wanted me to remove 25% of my thyroid. They wanted to put me on hormone medication, and I wasn't going to have that. You know, I was going to do everything in my power to try to fix this issue that I had also naturally. And again, you know, I throughout all of my research, not only was it the genetically modified foods and you know, the water that we had to worry about drinking, but also the fact that we're being iodine depleted. And that the body is being iodine depleted. So it came back to iodine once again, you know, being one of the main holistic remedies for this situation as well. Because if you research iodine, iodine deficiency is the number one cause of all thyroid problems, and it is also the number one cause for all cognitive disabilities as well.
So that's something that you cited in terms of your research, that iodine was a key component that may be missing in the diet that can lead to various health issues.
Yes. But aside from that, you know, it's not just the iodine. You have to have a proper diet as well. You know, you have to be aware of the fact and conscious of the fact that, you know, certain foods, even healthy foods, you know, fruits and vegetables that are immersed or bathed in these chemicals are affecting your body. So aside from that, you were also being iodine depleted because the soils, especially in the middle of America, where the soil is not close to the ocean, as this is, you know, the process of where the iodine comes from with, you know, evaporation and condensation and so on and so forth, those areas are very much depleted of iodine. So therefore, our vegetation is depleted of iodine, and we are vegetation. So when the plants are depleted and we are depleted of iodine, we're not taking in the proper nutrients and minerals and vitamins, leaving us deficient in other vitamins as well. So it's the foundation of the overall chemistry of the body is the iodine. And this is something that most don't know is the chemistry of the body is so dependent on iodine. It's unbelievable. Iodine, you know, is loaded with electrons. So one, every single cell, every single tissue, every single organ in the body needs iodine to function properly. And 96% of all Americans are iodine deficient. Most aren't even aware of it. You know, it's
When do people get tested in terms of their amount of iodine they may have in their system so that
usually people don't get tested for iodine. It's something that that you're not really aware of, and your medical doctor is not aware of it for the most part either, because if it was, then all of the endocrinologists that I had gone to would have told me, hey, guess what? You know, all thyroid problems are due to lack of iodine. You need iodine supplementation. This was never the case, ever. Meanwhile, if you do research in all of the medical books, it clearly states this. And it goes back all the way to the 18th century and even further back than that. There's been many, many, many studies, many doctors that have used iodine going back to the 18th century to correct all thyroid issues. So, you know, these are all questions that you start asking yourself. You know, why is it that, you know, they want to give you synthetic hormones, you know, to rectify the situation, but it's not even rectifying it. It's putting a Band-Aid on it. It's not finding the root problem. And this is why I was unhappy with, you know, the conventional medical industry in general, because, you know, you go to them and they're, motto is to give you a prescription to not remedy the situation, but to, you know, to put a Band-Aid on it. Meanwhile, the root cause for me in particular and for all thyroid issues and all cognitive abilities is iodine. You know, so the iodine is utilized, you know, by every cell in the body, especially the thyroid. The thyroid consumes the most iodine, then the breasts, the ovaries, and the prostate. Without it, you know, it doesn't function properly. We start developing cysts. These cysts, if they're not rectified with iodine, because this is why you're even getting them in the first place from the research that I have done, is because you're iodine deficient, then these cysts turn to nodules and can become cancerous. And this is cysts from my research anywhere in the body is due to iodine deficiency.
So you feel that in the past there was sufficient iodine in the environment and now there has been a change so that it is not so prevalent?
Well, if you research it, which I have, there was iodine, there was no iodine in our food in the 1920s, and in 1924 there was a Dr. Marine who had done a test in the Goiter Belt region, which is in the Great Lake region, and he had done, I took X amount of girls that had goiter and gave them iodine supplementation and actually corrected all of their goiters or thyroid issues that they had. And after that study was done, they started implementing iodine into the diet. But it was taken out in the 80s. It was taken out of our diet. And, you know, there's also was a study, a 16-year study in China. And this is published in the NCBI, which is publicmed.gov. So this is a government website. And this was from the United States National Library of Medicine, National Institutes of Health. And they took 12,292 children, and they compared children living in naturally iodine-sufficient areas with children in severely iodine-deficient areas. And the children in the iodine-deficient areas born before and after introduction to iodine supplementation. So there were also had a study of subjects that were given iodine supplementation as well. And they measured their intelligence with Binet and Raven scales. And they compared their social skills, their economic, and their educational backgrounds. And the children in iodine-deficient areas demonstrated a profound 12 to 15-point IQ point decrease than the children that lived in areas or that the mothers were given iodine supplementation. Okay, it was a 12 to 15-point decrease in IQ. There were also, the positive side to that actually is that they were able to recover 8.7 points of the IQ through iodine supplementation. So this is, you know, pretty amazing to me.
That's an excellent study to where they're actually looking into this issue. And, you know, real facts and figures and measurements, which is, you know, what we like to deal with here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, because that gives people a thread to pull and also might open an awareness about an issue they're dealing with that might mirror what you're describing, and perhaps, you know, they can look into this as a possible causative factor as well. Well, we're going to take a little break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we'll listen to a natural medicine chest, which gives us all kinds of great tips on how to use herbs for health and wellness. And then we will continue our discussion both about iodine and about things you've put together that can be really helpful for people and which can be found on maggiesholisticsnewyork.com. That's Maggie's with an S, holisticsny.com. And we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss an herb we all know and love, cinnamon.
Ah, the spicy, sweet smell of cinnamon. Everyone recognizes the familiar aroma of this common kitchen spice. But did you know that cinnamon is an exotic plant bark with a long history of medicinal use in many countries throughout the world? Cinnamon was listed as an herb with medicinal properties in Chinese literature as early as 2700 BC. It is described in the Chinese medical text, the Tang Materia Medica, written in 659 AD. Cinnamon also enjoys traditional use in Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing art of India. It is mentioned in the Book of Moses and has been cultivated in Ceylon and Sri Lanka since 1200 AD, where much of the world's supply is still grown.
In Europe, cinnamon was regarded as a rare and precious spice. Many pharmaceutical substances such as cough syrups and digestive tonics contain cinnamon. It was also used as an incense and in perfumes. According to Chamberlain, writing in France in 1887, cinnamon possesses the greatest antiseptic properties. Cinnamon is gathered from the dried inner bark of the branches of a small tropical evergreen laurel tree. The bark is peeled off, and as the pieces are dried, they curl up into quills. These are the common cinnamon sticks that are used in herb teas and for baking.
In Chinese medicine, cinnamon is one of the most widely used warming herbs to aid in circulation and digestion. It is a common ingredient in small amounts in tea used for nausea during pregnancy. It is also used following delivery to decrease hemorrhage. Cinnamon raises vitality, warms and stimulates all the vital functions of the body, counteracts congestion, improves the digestive system, relieves abdominal spasms, and aids in peripheral circulation. The essential oils contained in cinnamon include eugenol, cinnaminic aldehyde, methyl eugenol, tannins, and mannitol, which give cinnamon its sweet flavor. It also contains cinzenolin and cinzenolol, which are both known insecticides.
Try putting some liquid soap and cinnamon in a spray bottle and use on plants as an organic bug repellent. Cinnamon is also included in many medicinal recipes that are used for lice, scabies, and other skin parasites. Cinnamon has antifungal, antiviral, and bactericidal activities. It has been shown to suppress E. coli, Staphylococcus, and Candida albicans.
So, listeners, the next time you inhale that sweet, spicy aroma, remember there's more to cinnamon than meets the nose as you reach into your natural medicine chest.
And, okay, we're not going to have music, I guess, to come back in, so we'll just go ahead and come back in. So we're here today on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and we're so happy to have as our guest, Maggie, and I don't know what the Google chat is. So, Maggie, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. I'm glad that you're here. And what we'd like to do is continue our discussion with you because you were giving a great description of iodine and some of the actual studies that have been done linking iodine to such things as...
I can go into the history of iodine if you'd like and give people a little
bit of... I love that
because
you have a great session, but I do want to remind our listeners that you are going to be presenting this information in person where you actually have really detailed slides and they may learn a whole new thing by attending the Naval Expo. The Naval Expo is coming up on November 8th at the Huntington Hilton. But if you hear this show at another time, we actually have Naval Expos four times a year, twice in Manhattan and twice on Long Island. So just go to navalexpo.com to see when you can join in for the next one. And Maggie, yes, it would be wonderful if you'd like to discuss some of the in-depth knowledge about the history of iodine.
Researching the iodine is pretty amazing. It was actually used in China about 3500 BC and in Greece as well. They used it, the marine sponges, they would be saturated in iodine and they would apply them on swollen glands to treat swollen glands. In 1811, it was actually, iodine was discovered by someone who was actually looking to make gunpowder and took seaweed and burnt it, and then through the burning process, mixing it with another compound, it became a purple vapor type of gas, hence the name iodine, which comes from the Greek word iodios, which means violet. In 1813, Dr. Coindit used it to treat thyroid. 1829, Dr. Lugol's developed Lugol's solution.
You know, it's amazing. I think Lugol's solution is still actually around. People can purchase that.
Yes.
Fashion remedy.
Yes. I can go into, there's a lot of misinformation about iodine, actually. A lot of misinformation, and it's hard to, you know, to decipher exactly what's right and what's not, and what type of iodine you should be taking, and which type of iodine is not really good for the body.
We'll get back to that. So why don't you continue with history? Because I know you have fascinating history, even from ancient times, listed on your website.
I do. Well, in 1825, there was a French chemist, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name, who used iodine also to treat goiter. 1860, Swiss physician used iodine for goiter. 1900, Dr. Regnault used it to successfully treat malaria. 1915, there was the goiter epidemic. This is the one study I was telling you about with Dr. Marine, who had the test subjects around the Great Lake area that was iodine deficient. I was iodine sufficient at one point from the ancient glaciers from the Ice Age. But, you know, again, it's not near the sea. So that area became very highly depleted and still is depleted to this day. And also in 1950, simultaneously, there was another research study done in Switzerland by Dr. Bayard. They also had the same exact situation as in the Great Lake region, where there was an epidemic of goiter there as well because there was no iodine in their soil. And he also started remedying people with iodine as well. And in 1924, the iodine salt became available to treat goiter after Dr. Marine and Dr. Bayer's research studies. And in 1997, Dr. Gent found benefits to use the iodine for fibrocystic breast disease. And then we have forward-thinking medical doctors today, such as Dr. Brownstein, who's got an excellent book on iodine, you know, why you need it.
Is that the name of the book, Dr. Brownstein's book?
Yes, Iodine and Why You Need It, I believe is the title of the book. Dr. Tullio Simonici, who is a oncologist in Rome who treated the pediatrics section, and he also uses iodine to successfully treat or his patients along with sodium bicarbonate, which is baking soda. You could find studies of his online. Dr. Davis, Dr. Group, Dr. Bergman, those are just a few of the doctors that are out there publicly initiating and recommending that you do take iodine supplementation daily. So, you know, there's a profound history of iodine. It's absolutely essential to the body. We don't get enough of it unless you're on a Japanese daily diet, you know, and if you look at the studies in Japan, they have the least amount of cancer rates in all of the world, and also one of the highest IQs as well. And this is due to their highly iodine-rich foods that they eat on a daily basis. And they also consume 13,800 mcgs per day of iodine with the recommended daily dosage of supplementation from the government is 150 mcgs, which is a far cry from the Japanese daily diet. And also, you know, in my opinion, is probably why a lot of people have so many health issues, aside from the fact, you know, that we are being bombarded, you know, with genetically modified foods and fluoride in the water, you know, and geoengineering. So, you know, it's a lot to take in. Most don't care to, I guess, be aware of these situations until you have something happen to you. You know, we are a species that learn through trauma, unfortunately. And, you know, it's unfortunate that it is that way, but I guess that's what makes us so passionate about
the motivation comes from need very often. Now, you do have a wonderful whole discussion about the relationship also to the pineal gland. And it's being viewed in a similar way as a pine cone. And this, I thought, was really interesting because of your art history background. Why don't you share some of that?
Right. So aside from me being aware, you know, of course, that of all the toxins and then looking into the companies and looking, you know, behind the people who are running the companies, and which took me into the ancient history of humanity, of civilizations, variety of cultures, of antiquity. It, you know, you start, well, the one thing actually that really led me to that was not only the researching of the people behind the companies that led me to antiquity, but also the fact that there's fluoride in our water here in New York. You know, New York City is highly fluoridated and the surrounding boroughs are highly fluoridated. So, you know, once you start researching fluoride, and you realize that it's a toxin, it's actually not good for us, especially the type of fluoride that they're putting into the water supply, which is not natural fluoride. It's an actually a byproduct from the chemical industry. This what it does is it magnetizes, for whatever reason, to the pineal gland. The pineal gland is in the middle of our brain, and the fluoride accumulates there, and it calcifies it, it hardens it. And this gland, if you look at the functions of this particular gland, it's responsible for the neurotransmitters, hormonal secretions, a variety of functions that it has. And when it's calcified, it actually diminishes your will as well. It makes you very docile. So if you start looking into the research of the fluoride, you also find that they used it, unfortunately, in Nazi Germany and the concentration camps, because this calcified the people that they had captive, and that they've been putting it in our water supply here for the last 70 years.
And so there's this big organizational movements to stop doing that. And in fact, where I live on Long Island, they do not fluoridate the water at all. And the evidence is very strong in terms of the toxic effects, particularly of the kind of fluoride that they use. Exactly as you said, so many, even dental organizations, you know, in other parts of the world do not recommend using fluoride, which they use here, claiming that it helps to offset cavities.
Well, there's 11 countries that have banned fluoride in the 90s. So we're not one of those countries, obviously. But the fluoride, I mean, if you look in the back of any rat poison or any insecticide packaging, you will find that one of the main ingredients is fluoride. There was a Harvard study recently that was recently published on the meta-analysis funded by the National Institutes of Health that had conducted children who lived, concluded that children who lived in areas with highly fluoridated water have significantly lower IQs than those who live in low fluoridated areas. So, you know, I started asking myself, why are they so concerned with this one particular gland, you know, in the body, which is in the brain, the pineal gland? And having an art history background, doing research and stuff, I found that pinea, which is the root word of pineal, actually in Latin means pine cone. And if you started looking all throughout antiquity, going back to Sumerian, Egyptian, Greco-Roman art, Chinese, Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism, they all have pine cone representations in all of antiquity.
So when you look at this old artwork, and some of it, you actually have pictures on your website.
Yes.
Was really ancient art. Some of it are carvings. I think you have some cave drawings and a lot of ancient artwork. It's quite amazing. And they clearly depict a pine cone.
Right. And even in the Vatican, you know, the Pope's staff has pine cone on it. They have the largest statue in the world is in the Vatican courtyard, and it's of a pine cone with two Egyptian dogs in the front and an empty Egyptian sarcophagus in the back. You know, so this clearly represents something, right, to the establishment. So what does it represent? And if you start researching it and you find that it's in all of these cultures all throughout antiquity, you know, they had a clearer understanding of this gland. And this gland is responsible not only for the neurotransmitters and all of the hormonal secretions and giving signals, you know, to the body, because it's part of the brain, the mainframe. It also connects us to spirituality as well, which is why it's in, you know, these religious sects as well. And if you really get down and research, you know, you'll find that a lot of the history that we were taught is very, very different from what they're finding or what they're able to put and piece together from using existing ancient texts along with newer ancient texts that they had revived in the late 1940s and 1950s and archaeological finds. you know, the history that we have, human history, the ancient world, you know, they were much more spiritually advanced, but not only were they spiritually advanced, meaning that they connected more with nature and lived more harmoniously with nature, but they were also very much far superior with technology as well. And this is something that, you know, most people don't know. But there's so many archaeological finds that they have found, like, you know, in Baghdad, they found a battery, 250 BC, that they used to electroplate their gold and for lighting. This is why in the Egyptian pyramids, you know, you don't find burnt ceilings or, you know, smoke buildup from torches, because this is not what they use. And you can even find in some of the hieroglyphics where they're actually using beamed light is what it looks like. It's like a beam of light. They also found off of the coast of Antithera in Greece a computer analog that dates back to 150 BC. And they recently put this together, and it's a computer analog that measures the precessions of the equinox and certain planetary alignments. There's also reliefs in Sumerian art that clearly depict our solar system. Meanwhile, you know, they hadn't found certain planets up until the last 50 years with all of the technology that we have today. So they weren't even aware of the certain planets that were depicted on these Sumerian reliefs. So, I mean, those are just, you know, very, there's also, I think, airplanes, little tiny 24-karat gold airplanes, carved airplanes, different variety of them that were found off of the river, the Magdalena River in Colombia, that date back 800 B.C. So, you know, clearly what we were taught about our ancient civilizations is inaccurate. And, you know, it's pretty clear from all the archaeological finds and all the new texts that they uncovered, like the Nag Hammadi text that they found in Egypt and the Dead Sea Scrolls, you know, that these findings, along with the art that they left behind, you know, tell us a completely different story. Because
brings the pine cone into a new conceptualization for our listeners. So we're going to take another break right here. We'll listen to some show promos from other wonderful shows that are right here on Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. You can find this show, today's show, which we're doing live with guest Maggie from Maggie's Holistics, New York. That's Maggie's with an S, Holistics with an S, NewYork.com. And also, we post our shows on the archive, and we post a content link on the archive as well, so you can always get in touch and find out more directly from our guests. We'd like to remind you that both Maggie and myself will be lecturing at the up-and-coming Naval Expo. I'll be discussing the dangers of GMOs and how to use herbal medicine for yourself and your family. So we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
PRN, 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 Progressive Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Have you ever listened to Anthony Robbins, watched the movie called The Secret, or read about the power of positive thinking from the perspective of any of the many fine authors who have written about the subject? They all focus on the law of attraction, which governs every second of every life of every person in the universe. Like attracts like, and everything you do, feel, and think about as a regular way of being determines your life experiences. PRN's new show, LOA Today, explores all aspects of this magnificent law of the universe every Thursday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Join hosts Walt Thiessen and Ioana June Thiessen as we explore the law of attraction each week. That's LOA Today, Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 p.m. here on PRN.
Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the premiere of Women's Rights in the Workplace with Jack Tuckner. That's me. Where I'll be talking with you about sex discrimination in the workplace and what you can do to protect yourself. Each week, my guests and I will discuss all forms of workplace discrimination affecting women, such as your right to maternity leave, and what you need to know about workplace sexual harassment, and what to do about that harassment if it's happening to you or to someone you love. I'll take your calls and answer your questions as well. Please tune in live on Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on PRN.FM. If you miss the show live, you can listen at your convenience on PRN.FM at any time. And if you like what you hear, please rate the show on iTunes.
Catherine, host of Heart of Mind Radio, broadcasting over PRN.FM on Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Join me and explore your inner world, your divine self, and your sacred path. Listen and be inspired by authors, healers, shamans, scientists, mystics, and you. Yes, your calls are most important of all. You can listen to Heart of Mind Radio on the archives anytime, 24/7. And please don't forget, rate the show on iTunes. I bring my 30 years experience as a teacher, spiritual doula, and vibrational healer. That's Fridays at 10 a.m.
Your best choice for voices outside the mainstream. PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
Our guest, and our guest is Maggie Martakis, and she is from maggiesholisticsnewyork.com. So, Maggie, as we move towards the end of the show, thank you so much for that fascinating discussion about iodine, and I know that you have actually put together a product line that includes both herbal medicine and specific kinds of iodine. So now might be a good idea for you to discuss what people should look for if they decide they may want to supplement with iodine. And, of course, they can always ask their doctor first for an iodine level so they can see if, you know, they are deficient.
Yeah, you can do a patch test yourself on the inner part of your wrist. You could do like a 2-inch by 2-inch area, apply some iodine, and if it disappears within 8 hours, you're highly deficient. If it disappears within 24 hours, you know, I would say you're lower on the deficiency of iodine scale. However, you know, it's not very accurate of a test. You can go to your doctor and get a urine test where they make you take a very large portion of iodine in capsule form. And then they test your urine to see how much the body actually held inside of it, how much was
right,
it depleted.
Right, so the more deficient you are, the more you're going to absorb. That's a nice system.
Yes. So there's a lot of misinformation about iodine out there. There are actually two types of iodine. There's iodine in its atomic state, which is what I sell. It's mined 700 feet deep in the earth, and it's broken down through an electrical process into its atomic state. So it's more bioavailable to every cell in the body. Now there's iodide. Okay, iodide is from kelp or sea vegetation. And what happens with iodide, it's basically, it's known, it's combined with potassium. So it's a potassium iodine, also known as iodide. So potassium iodide is something that you would use basically in a nuclear fallout, okay, in high dosages. And it can shut down the thyroid if you take too much of this. And what happens is your body also uses a lot more energy to break down the potassium iodine, also known as iodide, to make iodine, which is the product that I sell. Now, the body uses iodine. Every single cell needs it in order to survive. It's essential to our optimal health, and it naturally purges the body, in addition to it being a necessity for the body to function properly. It also naturally purges it of heavy metals such as mercury, lead, aluminum, chemicals, which are the bad halides, bromine, fluorine, and chlorine. So this helps naturally purge the body of this stuff. And again, it's not the iodide, because there's a lot of people and doctors that don't understand quite the difference of iodide and iodine. You know, so there's a lot of kelp-based iodines out there. And again, this is what you would, you take too much of this and you can get sick. You know, this is not iodine. This is not the iodine that I have, which has already gone through the process in a natural way, through an electrical process. No ammonia is being used in this process, and it's in its purest form, completely bioavailable to the body. And, you know, all of our atoms are surrounded by electrons. Electrons are electricity, all right? So we are first and foremost electrical beings, right? This is why EKGs work on us, EEGs. This is why if our heart stops beating, we get revived, you know, with artificial electricity. This is why if a radio station doesn't come in clear and we touch the antenna, all of a sudden the reception comes in clear. Lasers, electrolysis, pacemakers. So, you know, this salt water, to give you an example, is a great conductor of electricity. Our bodies are made up of 80 to 90% water. Now, if you don't have the proper type of iodine in your body, which is, you know, it's a mineral found naturally in salt, right? But we have a lot of mimickers out there, like MSG, nitrates, you know, sodium, which all canned foods are in. You know, this is detrimental to us.
I will just sign off. She did an excellent show giving us all kinds of information in terms of iodine. And you can find out more at maggiesholisticsnewyork.com. New York is just NY. You'll find the show on our archive and have click-throughs to contact her. Maggie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. So let's just, we just lost the internet just for a brief second. It won't affect the show because we got so much good information. So please tell us what else you'd like to say as we sign off today.
I think I said I give a lot of information. You know, if they can go to my website at maggiesholisticsny.com to find out more.
You have You have all that history. You have the art history there with pictures. You have wonderful products. They can read what's in them. They're a combination of excellent herbs such as turmeric along with iodine, which you researched so in-depth and have such great feedback from people who try that in terms of more energy. So I want to thank you again so much for being our guest today on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Thank you.
And thank you, listeners. And stay healthy.